You've landed Inside Launch Street, the Business Innovation Podcast, where we interview top innovators out there shaking things up so you can innovate, differentiate, and get further faster. Since you're here, we know you're the type of person that recognizes the importance of unlocking your innovation advantage so you can compete and win. And now, your host, the person that has worked with leading companies like Disney, Procter & Gamble, Arrow Electronics, the U.S. Army Research Labs, and Red Robin on upping their innovation advantage, Tamara Gontor.
Hey, hey, innovators. Tamara here, your host of All Things Human-Centered Innovation. By the way, someone asked me the other day, why I don't just say innovation, why I say human-centered innovation or human-centric innovation sometimes. Here's why. I believe and have experienced that the major narrative out there about innovation is about the processes and the procedures, the technology, the latest and greatest system, the kind of culture that we're all supposed to have, which all looks the same, by the way, and it's not working. It's trying to put square pegs into one type of round hole. Actually, it's trying to put all different types of pegs into one round hole, different shapes and sizes and styles. No wonder it never works. It's a failed effort. It doesn't fit. As humans, we all innovate differently. Different cognitive thinking, different mindsets, different behaviors. Tapping the difference. That's where real innovation happens. Human-centered innovation. And what a great transition into today's epic guest, which is all about human connection. So if you're a client of mine, or if I featured you in my upcoming book, Innovation is Everybody's Business, you received a personalized video email from me, not just text, a real video of me with a message to you. I actually video record them at my desk. I did it with an application called BombBomb that I love and use all the time. It just has a personal touch in a way that a written email can't. So when a chance to interview their chief marketing officer came across my desk, I leapt. This is a great interview about human connection, standing out in a cluttered inbox and making innovation happen through humans. So Stephen Passanelli serves as BombBomb's chief marketing officer. Recently, Steve co-authored The Definitive Guide to Better Business Communication, Rehumanize Your Business. He's got a ton of experience in sales and marketing and speaking, so he knows how to connect. And this is a great conversation about why that human connection is so important in today's digital world and what you can do about it. All right, onward.
Steve, thank you so much for joining me. As I fangirled earlier, I'm so excited to have you on the show.
I'm excited to be on the show and speak with you today.
So let's start by getting to know you. What is your first memory of being innovative?
So I knew you were going to ask this question, and I thought about it all last night. And it's funny, my mom just swung by here today, too. And I asked her and I said, Mom, what's your first memory of me being innovative? And she sat down next to me. And this literally just happened. Put her hand on my shoulder and she's like, She's like, I'm not sure, honey. And she got up and she walked away.
Thanks for the good talk, Mom. Thanks.
She's inside the house right now. Yeah. And so, which honestly, I came to the same conclusion as a youngster. And this will actually get into a question I think you're going to ask later. You know, as a young person, I was really not innovative. I was so afraid to fail. I was so afraid to, like, especially when I was younger, and obviously I grew out of that, but, you know, that fear of failing or being, like, laughed at, I don't know why I grew up that way, but it wasn't until I really hit college that I started innovating and coming up with ideas. So the moral of that story is, you know, you don't have to be born with it. I think, you know, out of genuine curiosity comes innovation. And I wasn't curious enough when I was younger. I was a little bit too afraid.
It's interesting, Steve, that you say that. And thank you, first of all, for admitting that. I mean, I love all the great stories. But I think it's true for a lot of us. I was just writing a book and I just finished it. And one of the research studies I came across was talking about how we actually get dinged in school for being, quote unquote, creative. Because then you become disruptive, you're not following the rules, you're not doing it a certain way. And there's a no fault to teachers. It has more to do with the system than it does with teachers. But I actually think at an early age, we are taught that being innovative or taking risks actually leads to consequences and not always positive. So we almost kind of work our way out of it, even though we're all born with it in some way. So some of us, and I'm kind of the same way, don't really come into it until much later in life.
And absolutely. I was a goody-goody. I did not like to go outside the lines or the boundaries. And again, it wasn't until I hit college and I started, you know, I went through a few jobs by then, small jobs, of course, and I began to become more social that I really began breaking out.
It's so fascinating to me to see when we all, I don't know, when we all come into our own. But let's leap forward and talk about BombBomb, which is where you are from. And I did a whole thing in the intro around it. And as everyone now knows, I absolutely love it. And I use it all the time. And I kind of defined what it is. But I'd love to hear from your words what you think BombBomb truly allows people to do.
It allows people to make email as warm and personal as a face-to-face meeting. You know, 20, 25 years ago, someone decided that our most important business communication was going to be relegated to black text on a white screen, and the messenger was going to be removed from the message, and we started emailing and texting solely, and it removed the humanity, it removed the people out of the messaging, which is, again, the most important part. And BombBomb is about connecting people. BombBomb, just like the book, is about, that's why we called it rehumanizing, not humanizing, because this is how we did business face-to-face 20, 30, 40 years ago when business was local. Now that business is global and it's all over, and businesses look quite different today than they did 40 years ago when business was all done face-to-face, you know, BombBomb helps give you that connection. It's rehumanizing your business communication and allowing you to be you.
I want to dig into something you've said there. And I know from a kind of baseline perspective that email takes out tone, context, right? You have no kind of concept for how the person is thinking it as they're writing it. I get that. But kind of from a deeper level, what do you think this email, text, kind of all of this written communication, what are we missing by constantly communicating that way?
Yeah, we're missing, as you mentioned, the tone and the humanity. It's not necessarily, the hard part isn't necessarily conveying your tone through the email to the other person. The hard part is overcoming their current feelings at the time, because no matter what you read, when you read something throughout the day, whatever you read is assigned a voice in your head, and you're reading that in your head, and it's automatically assigned a tone based off of what happened in your day, what happened previously. And when someone's reading your text, they assign the tone that they want to your text based off of the 3 minutes prior that they read your email, which could have been a bad 3 minutes. It could have been dealing with crying kids. It could have been dealing with a tough coworker. And when you get on video, and this is with relationship videos, with personal videos, with one-to-one videos, you don't leave it up to the recipient to decide the tone and the emotion that you want to deliver the message in. And it's clear and it's concise.
You know, it's funny that you say that. I was just thinking about, I just had this Facebook exchange, which I normally stay away from, but where I wrote something and someone wrote something that I thought was very snarky. And I was reading it to a colleague of mine earlier today to say, can you believe this person wrote this? And I found my tone to just be dripping with sarcasm as I was reading hers. And when I read mine, I was like, hey, Tamara here, blah, 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 blah. And then as I read this other person's, and you're so right, I don't really know what their tone was. It was my reaction to their writing. And it was just, oh my gosh, the tone that I put on it was so bad.
Yeah. And we try to compensate by using emojis because they're more accepted these days. And that definitely helps. But if I wrote you the line, did you see the price? You know, that could have three totally different meanings. Just the fact that I, asked you, did you see the price? It could be like, oh my God, that price is really high for that product. Or did you see the price? Oh my goodness, this is exciting. This price is within our budget. Or did you see the price with just a normal context without being excited or not excited? Just simply, did you see it? And it's impossible to tell. That single sentence is impossible to tell the tone.
Oh my gosh, isn't that true? You said a minute ago that you called them relationship videos. So what's the difference between relationship videos and, I guess, marketing videos?
Marketing videos are probably what everybody's thinking about as they listen to this podcast because we've been conditioned on marketing videos our entire life. And that's what most people know. Commercials, movies, TVs, high-end cameras, digital SLRs, green screens, drones, whatever it may be. When you think of video and or if you have a small company and you're like, oh, we really need to start using video, you create marketing videos, videos for mass consumption. These videos have polish. These videos take weeks to execute. They have scripts. They come from the head and not from the heart. You know, these videos are what people are used to seeing, especially in commercials. So, you know, your lifetime of viewing commercials and not believing what's on commercials doesn't help your marketing video, that's for sure. So a relationship video is the exact opposite of that. The raw nature, the imperfect nature, the handheld phone, the camera on your computer without professional lighting, without makeup, without a professional backdrop, it's the antithesis of what a marketing video actually is. And there's a time and place for both. You want a polished marketing video on the homepage of your website so you exude that professionalism. But when you're reaching out to a client that maybe is upset with your service or you're trying to close an online lead or you're doing cold outbounding, you know, if you have a startup company and you're reaching out to people, you want to connect with the person on the other end is a person. So you want to connect with them emotionally the same way that you would connect with them if you saw them in person. And all that polish and all that shine, there's a shiny authenticity inversion. And the shinier that something is, the less authentic it feels. And so that raw video of, hey, Tamara, just reaching out because I saw that you were on our website. I'm here to help you. I want to let you know I'm a real person. I'm here to help with any questions. That is a totally different tone than our products here at ABC. We're going to make you, you know, totally different.
Do you think, too, that just in regular communication that this is a good tool? Meaning if I need to reach out to a colleague, maybe even on the other side of the globe, because we all work in these, you know, kind of disparate environments now.
Right.
Do you think it can help in that kind of way, too?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially when the messages are short or, you know, there's a lot of great times to use video, especially when emotion is involved. If you're congratulating someone or you want to provide a nice pat on the back, et cetera. If you're communicating with someone within your own company and you want to describe something with clarity and you want them to understand, like we talked about before, the emotion or the tone behind it, or you need to give feedback, which might not be maybe constructive feedback, we'll say it that way, then absolutely a short video message as opposed to typing it through an email is going to be infinitely better. Now, if the topic is deeper, and you need synchronous conversation, that's where, you know, video chats like, you know, Zoom or Skype come into play. But a lot of times, both people, it's hard to get both people on the same page. You both need to be available at 3:00. You need to schedule that. You don't want to wait. Short, succinct video messages can help keep that relationship no matter how far apart you are.
I want to dig into your book, The Rehumanize Your Business. I just want to tell you before we kind of go into that one bomb story, because as I was telling you offline, we use it all the time and we love it long before you and I connected. And I absolutely love it. And we find that our open rate is higher for emails, whether that's to clients for logistics stuff or new business. We find that, I think you said it earlier, that, you know, it's because it's not shiny. It's me at my desk. I mean, it's professional in the sense that I'm sitting at my desk and I'm, you know, dressed in work clothes. But that seems to have it just resonate more. But I had this one woman who I sent out. It was a past client that I wanted to get back in front of. And I sent her a bomb video. And, you know, you can see how if people play it. Right. And I was dying laughing. I got 50 notifications and I called her and I was like, Marjorie, like, I know the video is good, but it wasn't that good. Like, what are you doing? How come you keep watching it? She had spread it across her company to show them an example of innovative marketing. But I didn't know that. So I was like, Marjorie, what are you doing? Why are you watching me over and over again?
We hear stories like that. It's so great. We hear stories like that all the time. One of our clients, Michael Thorne, sent a video, and he's a real estate agent, and he sent a video for a listing presentation, and he said all five names for the entire family. And he said Oliver, which happened to be the little boy's name. And he noticed that the video was played 12 times. And he's like, I don't know if I'm going to go on this listing appointment. This is getting creepy. but he went anyway, of course. And when he walked up, a little five-year-old boy ran out and he goes, Michael, and gives him a huge high five. And it's like he already knew him. The family already liked him because he sent a video and said his name. The five-year-old was so excited that he just simply said his name. And that's the power of human-to-human connection. Never, if he were just to type that out, would that have happened.
No, you're absolutely right. I was just trying to think through that as you were saying, is that there really is something very different, also about looking in someone's eyes. I mean, not really, but in the video. Then it is about reading the email and kind of to loop it back to what you said earlier. It's so much more human than an email, no matter how personal you try to get an email. It just isn't really that it's not possible.
Yeah. And there's a book called Thinking Fast and Slow. Have you ever read that?
Yes.
One?
Yeah.
And so Daniel breaks down the mind in two parts. He calls it system one and system two. System one being the emotional side of your brain, system two being the analytical side. And he goes on to say it not only in this book, but pretty much every book written on psychology, that people make decisions with system one and then they justify it with system two. You get that gut feeling, the emotional side makes your decisions. And when someone's reading an email, system two of their brain is engaged. When someone's watching a video, system one is engaged and they're feeling those emotions. And then they justify that with their system two part. And it's hard to go the opposite way. If someone's sitting there reading, the wrong side of their brain is engaged, and you better be an amazing writer to really connect with that person.
Oh, man. And I will tell you, this from my perspective anyway, spelling errors and grammar errors in email drive me nuts and make me think the person on the other side isn't professional. But if you screw up your words, totally fine with it. Like, get it. We all screw up our words. And by the way, I screw up my emails all the time. So I'm by no means the person to be judging. But there's a funny judgment that happens in one that doesn't happen in the other.
Especially in video. Your imperfection is your perfection. And so when you make a mistake in a video, some of the best and most storied videos that we've seen have been from people that sent a video to someone else and something like their child popped up in the background. My wife, in her very first video that she had ever sent, dropped all the products that she was holding in her hands during the video, sending it out to someone that she's never met before. She popped out of the frame and she looked over at me and I was like, you keep going. I'm like, you keep recording. And she popped back up into the frame. Her face was bright red. And she's like, oh, my goodness, I am so sorry. I'm such a klutz. She continued the video. She stopped it. And she's like, there's no way I'm sending that. I clicked the send button for her. And she's like, I'm going to kill you. She got a call in 10 minutes. And it was Susan, the person that she sent the video to. And Susan, for the first 10 minutes, talked about how klutzy she was and how klutzy they both were. And it was so awesome. And at the end of the call, she was like, yeah, just sign me up for everything.
Oh, my gosh. See, what a great example. The thing is, we've all had those moments, haven't we? And for those of us on Launch Street listening to this, I hope you're just, first of all, I hope you go check out BombBomb. But secondly, I also hope that you really evaluate how you're communicating and maybe overutilizing the written word. Because as much as I love it, to everything that Steve is saying, it just strips out the humanity. So with that, let's go to your book, because I have a bunch of questions for you. And the book is called Rehumanize Your Business, as you talked about. And I thought the best way to do this was to call out some chapters and stories that kind of stood out to me and get your perspective on it. And one of them was chapter 4, The 6 Signs It's Working For You. And I was just curious if you could have a conversation with me about what those signs are and why they matter.
Yeah, sure. You know, if your business wins with and through other people, then short personal video messages are going to be for you. That is the very succinct and short answer. But if we want to get more specific there, if you teach, if you train, if you sell, if you need to build rapport or trust, video is for you. If you run a business where you try to drive face-to-face opportunities, video isn't a replacement for an in-person meeting. Video is the conduit that will get you that in-person meeting faster because it reduces the anxiety of someone meeting you in person because they have already met you. If you want to improve customer service, video can be, you know, a lot of the things that we do these days are automated. You know, we have automated scripts, we have automated emails that go out. And it's not just the written word. And I'm not, there's plenty of times you don't want to send all videos either. It's, you know, it's
like, oh God, there's tomorrow again.
Yeah. It's like salt in a bread recipe, right? Like you need salt, but you don't want too much salt. It's going to be bad. But so you need text emails, of course, and you need automation because you need to be able to scale. But creating those magic moments, if you're in customer service or customer experience, where you help them and then you followed up with a 10-second video that simply said, Tamara, I know we talked last week about getting this fixed with your program. Hopefully everything is running smoothly. I just want to double back with you. Have a great day. 10 seconds. That will make someone a customer for life from the personal attention that you just showed.
And, you know, I don't know that this is obvious to everybody, but one of the things that I think makes BombBomb and what you're saying about video really work is that little GIF that you can kind of see. Is it the first 3 seconds, I think, of the video? So as opposed to click on a link here and go here, it's kind of right there in your face. And there's something really powerful about that too. But I want to go back to what you said about like through other people. And as you were saying that, I was thinking to myself, wow, if you're trying to influence a decision in any way, this is really a powerful tool, isn't it? I mean, maybe I'm overextending it, but even if my client is the, I said that with air quotes, not that anyone can see me, but is, you know, my boss, I'm trying to get buy-in for an idea. Instead of just sending off the presentation with the data, sending a quick video along and say, hey, I finished this up. I'm really excited about it. Here are 3 things I hope you notice in my presentation. It seems like that would be a really great tool for that, as well as like what you were talking about with the real estate agent, all of which is phenomenal too.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but you get an e-vite to go to a party or something and you get that digital e-vite in your email inbox. And then you happen to be at, I don't know, shopping or at the grocery store or something. And you see that person that you never responded to the e-vite on because you know you don't want to go to that party. And you're like, oh, my God, they're in the aisle. And you quick try to duck out, because if you know you saw them face to face, what would happen? You'd be like, yeah, I'm coming.
I'll be there.
Because it's hard. It's easy to say no and to ignore text on the screen because we're conditioned to ignore emails all day long. That is our condition. And so it's easy to ignore text on the screen. It is hard to ignore a person. And the same thing happens, and you can think about this just in your day-to-day interactions with something like road rage. You don't see the human being in the other car. If someone cuts you off, you get mad and you get angry because you don't recognize the humanity in the other car. Same thing with a blog post that's polarizing or a political post, and you read all the mean and nasty comments on the bottom. Chances are, if those people were standing face to face with one another and they can look each other in the eye, they would recognize the humanity in one another and wouldn't say the same thing.
It's such a different response. I'm curious, of all the stories you've heard and clients that you've had, and kind of when you thought about when you were writing this book, Rehumanize Your Business, were there any that surprised you, either applications or just approaches? You're like, oh, wow, I would have never thought of that. That's brilliant.
Yeah, there are so many things. I mean, down to just generally how to use video, to really tactical methods. Like you mentioned the whiteboard, you know, your goal, you know, attention is the currency of sales. And your goal is to get attention in anything, whether you're a marketer, you're in sales, you're a company. If you don't have attention, you don't have a company anymore. And so getting attention with video and that whiteboard, as you mentioned, and writing someone's name down so they immediately know that that's for them and it's not automated, that didn't go out to other people, is great. But we've seen people take the whiteboard strategy and get really, really creative with it. I want to give the story of how we got Daniel Pink to write the endorsement for our book, write the recommendation. Daniel Pink, I read his books, of course, so did Ethan, my co-author, Ethan, but we didn't have any relationship with Daniel Pink at all. And Ethan picked up a whiteboard and wrote several quotes from Daniel Pink's book on the whiteboard. These were quotes that Daniel himself had said, and we reached out cold with a video email to Daniel Pink and said, with the quotes, tied his quotes into our book, into a shared or tied belief. We had a shared belief, and then said, here's the book for a preview copy, if you wouldn't mind, give it a read. And he ended up writing an endorsement for the book from that email that we sent.
That is brilliant. I can't remember. I think we were talking about the whiteboard offline. So just for those who don't know, the strategy that I use, that I borrowed from one of Steve's people, because you guys did it to me. That's how I figured it out. Is you hold up a whiteboard and I will put a person's name or the conference I'm speaking at, you know, date and title or whatever. And I'm holding it up and kind of moving it so that you're very clear when you see my 3-second GIF from the video that it is to you, that this is not just a video I send out to everybody. So you put someone's name on it, you put some, you know, kind of whatever. But I love the quote. That's brilliant.
Yeah. So the quote's great. The name on the whiteboard, that BDR story, the person drew a picture of a coffee cup and put a logo on there, and the person liked coffee from all around the world. So that really stood out. But it's not just the personalization, but it's your surroundings. Mm-hmm. And so one thing we like to tell people to do is you don't always have to record right in front of your desk there. Or if you do, make sure what's behind you tells your story. Give a chance for people to connect with you. Behind my desk, or directly behind me, I have a picture, a hand-drawn picture of my kids. I have cameras. I love old digital cameras, and I have those up there. I have a little sign that says, explore, be kind, and be brave. And so even before someone plays my video, they see explore, be kind, and be brave. It's like persuasion, like Robert Cialdini, mm-hmm. you know, talks about persuasion. They're already persuaded to explore, be kind, and be brave before they even play my video.
Well, and what I love about what you're saying is it really all goes back to make that communication personal, make it human, which is really what the whole book is about. Yeah. Will you share the story of the sales guy that sent 10,000 videos? Because that blew my mind.
Yeah. Danny Dorkson. Danny is just, he's a machine. He's a monster. You know, he sends really great personal videos that are short and succinct. When you send that many videos, you get really good at connecting with people, but keeping them succinct as possible as well. And he just found so many different ways to incorporate it. Video isn't a replacement for everything that you're doing today. Video is a supplement to it. So for example, when he would schedule an appointment, he was getting people canceling sometimes those appointments. So he wanted to reduce cancellations. So he would schedule it with them on the phone, but then he would send a follow-up video with his big, bright smile right there and say, Tamara, thank you so much for scheduling the appointment with me. We have it scheduled for, you know, Thursday at, you know, at 4 p.m. And looking forward to that. I just wanted to put a face to the name and let you know that I'm preparing some of the documentation or the information right now, already began starting on it.
Genius.
And looking forward to the meeting. Now, what that does is by saying he's already putting work into the meeting, it reduces the chances, and we have statistics around this too, of them canceling the meeting. RE/MAX LLC, not the RE/MAX individual agents, RE/MAX, the worldwide company, they're franchise salespeople, the people that actually sell the RE/MAX franchises. Mm-hmm. Depending on how you want to look at it, they went from 56% to 72% appointments kept by sending a video out after.
Wow. It's so fascinating to me at all the different ways that video makes a difference. And when you mentioned the reducing cancellations, there's a little bit of Cialdini and the kind of, is it not gifting? What is it called? It's called something when you're like, I've already put some work into this. Maybe it's commitment.
Reciprocity.
Reciprocity. That's what I'm looking for. Thank you.
Yeah.
It was on the tip of my tongue. But I'm fascinated by the whole, just kind of to loop it around, the whole way of bringing humanity, not back to business, but not just in the sales and marketing elements, because I think we think about that a lot. That's kind of like, whoa, we need to connect with people. It's all about relationships. I get that. But some of the examples that you were just telling, like reducing cancellations, is really more about the other places in your business and where that can help.
Yeah. Even just communicating with colleagues, like you mentioned in the beginning, you know, as a, if you are a company leader, if you're an innovator, which chances are you are, if you're listening to this podcast, think about sending a 4 15-second videos that'll take you a total of 2 minutes to send out to people in your company, to people that have made a difference, or maybe they're not in your company, but people that have helped you along the way. A personal 15-second video that you're sending out that is faster to record than it is to actually type it out, especially for me because I'm a two-finger typer. People are floored that you took the time, and that's what time is, your most valuable asset. If you listen to someone like Gary Vee, always talks about time being your most valuable asset. People will be like, oh my goodness, I can't believe, thank you so much for reaching out to me. And all you did was just reach out and say a simple thank you, or acknowledge someone. Hey, I saw the work that you did on X, Y, and Z. That was fantastic. I just wanted to take the time to send you a personal video. That's it. Three sentences. And you're done, and you would have made someone's day.
So this might be an obvious question, but you just kind of say, like, you're going to make someone's day. Why on the other end does it, in a kind of putting this book together from the receiver perspective, why does it feel so good to get that video or to get that type of communication?
Well, it's funny because you said putting this book together and about video, people always ask us all the time. They're like, so we should be doing video, but you wrote a book about it.
Well, you got to get the information out there some way.
and the answer is yes. The book is just like anything else. You know, the book is part of the delivery mechanism. When you get the book, you have an entire website, and every video that we talk about in the book is on the website for you to view. And books are great to scroll through and to index and to quickly pick up frameworks and things like that. But when you truly need to learn what to do, obviously you watch the video. And I think I just went on a tangent right there on you. What was the original?
Well, but it does go back to what you were saying about, it's not that suddenly everything you do is video, but it is that it's a mix of the right communication tools. And this is one that I think has been grossly underused for the last, 15 years since email really came on the scene, actually, because we don't pick up the phone. We don't talk to people, right? We don't use video as much. My question to you was, what was it? It was, you know, we've been talking a lot about the sender side of this, about humanizing business. I'm curious from the receiver side, why this is so powerful.
And it does. It simply comes down to that time element. People have perceived that it was that much more difficult for you to send the video, and they actually feel the time that you spent on it. When someone reads paragraphs on a screen, they usually think that those paragraphs were copy and pasted from something else. And when people literally can see you give them your time, that's why they get that feeling. That's why they're like, wow, that was amazing. And it's not until usually doesn't happen. People don't realize the value in these personal 30-second or 45-second videos until they actually received one in their email inbox. And then for some reason, all the puzzle pieces come together and they're like, oh, now I understand why that was so powerful. I felt it.
It's funny. Every time I get a bomb from your company, I feel that same way. I'm like, oh my God, Jill just emailed me. How sweet. It's kind of funny how that works. Like, you really feel the personal connection to it. You know, we had talked about the sales guy that sent 10,000 videos. Is there any other case study that kind of came to light for you that really resonated with, like, wow, this is why this mode and this humanization is so important?
Yeah, we have a bunch of like corporate stories of how this, man, I'm not gonna say the company name. It's a very large company, but they were pitching Coca-Cola, and they put the Coca-Cola bottles in the background, and that was the reason why they got the that simple thing of putting Coca-Cola bottles behind the video was the reason why they got the contract there. But you know, so there's a lot of great specific stories about how people reduced ticket time or reduced the amount of or ticket times and reduced the amount of back and forth touches between tickets. But you know, some of my favorite stories are just that, you know, stories. And one of my favorites is using BombBomb video, or just video in general. It doesn't have to be BombBomb. There's other video solutions out there, but using video to convey bad news, to convey an apology. And what's so interesting about this, and I don't have, of course, stats on how this works, but the psychology says that bad news is more psychologically compelling than good news. And you probably experienced this yourself, Tamar, because you've delivered bad news to someone and they either sat there in silence when they heard the bad news and they didn't know what to say, or they did the exact opposite and they kind of went off the handle and they're talking gibberish, mm-hmm. right? And video can be such a powerful way to deliver that bad news that's most of the time, depending on the severity of the news, better than being in person, better than being on the phone, and certainly better than text-based email. And the reason why is you can deliver the bad news with empathy, deliver the bad news with emotion. And then the key to this is, hey, Tamara, I'm so sorry this didn't work out for you. Unfortunately, you know, this and that happened to cause this, but we have a backup plan and we can either do A, B, or C. Now, Tamara, I'm in an appointment right now, and I'll be available later on this afternoon around 4 o'clock, and I would love to discuss the options. Now, what I just did right there is I sent a video in the morning. You could hear that I was upset. You could see that I was upset, that I was empathizing with you. I have a nice call to action and a plan of action on what we could do. But this gives you time to fully understand the message, to consider your options. And then when you talk to me later on at 4 o'clock this afternoon, you're going to be in a much better space to make a decision. See, when you do synchronous communication, you're on the phone or you're in person, people are pressured into making a choice that they're not ready to make at that particular time. So that's one of my favorite stories. And I know it's not a very specific story. It's more of a use case. But that was really surprising to me. And your question, what was surprising? That was super surprising when I saw salespeople use video to deliver bad news and then dig into why it was so effective.
So what I find interesting about your story, too, is not just bad news, but the idea of if you want to give somebody something they need to process before you have the conversation, because you know the conversation is going to put them in fight or flight or right. tap the lizard brain, or, you know, like the RAS is going to shut you out. Maybe that's where video actually also helps, because to your point, you can say, hey, listen, I'm really, you know, we gave somebody else the job or this project. We did it for these reasons. I'm so sorry. I think you're highly qualified for some other things. I'd love to have that conversation with you later when I get out of my meetings. What a great opportunity for them to process first before you engage with them versus, I mean, how many times have we been in those situations where someone delivers the news and then you're supposed to respond right. in that moment, and you're still in that awkward fight or flight where your brain's not working.
Yeah, you did that perfectly. It's like
I was paying attention, Steve. I was paying attention to what you said. You know, I think what I'm really hearing, and it's funny, I just finished a book. One of the things that I was talking about in the books is that in the digital age, you simply need to be more human. And it really, what I love about what you're saying in your book, Rehumanize Your Business and Your Business Bomb Bomb, is that that's really ultimately what it allows you to do. So as we strip out all the personal connection, because tech does so much for us now, you're really leveraging technology to bring that human side back. And I think we all crave that because we're missing it in so many different places.
Yeah, I couldn't have said it better.
So I'm curious, because you lead a team of people. Mm-hmm. What do you think in general, and I'm not talking about your team specifically, what do you think stops people from innovating and taking risks? A little bit like you were saying in the beginning about your childhood, like what in our adult life, what stops us?
Yeah, fear of repercussions. Mm-hmm. And so if you have a team that is afraid of failing, and you don't give them the leeway to make mistakes and celebrate the mistakes and make sure that there's a process for learning from those mistakes, then you're going to have a team of people that will never step out of their boundaries, that will do just enough to maybe do a little bit better, but you'll never have any true breakthroughs. I failed miserably today, actually. On a initiative that we've been working on for the past, you know, couple of weeks. And we had a webinar today, and this was the culmination, and it didn't turn out the way that I wanted it. And I'm the chief marketing officer for BombBomb, and I report to the co-founder, and I know him, like the culture of the company and it comes from, you know, the top. I failed in this plan. This was what I thought was an innovative plan, but it didn't go exactly the way that we needed it to go. But I know he's not going to come, you know, come down on me and be like, this was a terrible idea. I can't believe that, you know,
how dare you?
that we did this because we learned so much from it. And the next idea that we have, we're going to take all the things that we learned and the next one's going to be innovative. So it's an iterative process. And when I finally got comfortable with knowing that failing makes you faster, and when I got comfortable with that phrase that failing makes you faster, then I got comfortable innovating. And I try to share that with the team, and they and my mentor shared it with me, and I share it with the team, and that's how we prevent, you know, people from being stagnant.
So we hear a lot, fail fast, fail often, but what do you mean by failure makes you faster? Because that sounds to me like it's a little bit different.
Yeah, it is a little bit different, because if you only see success in what you do, you only incrementally grow. When you fail and you put those missing puzzle pieces together, and failing fast is a part of it, because you want to fail. You don't want to keep failing your entire life and never put the missing pieces together.
No, you got to get to the success at some point. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So you fail fast, but failing, you learn more in failure than you do in success. My old soccer coaches and tennis coaches told me the same thing. You know, when you really get your butt beat, that's when you really learn. That's when you really buckle down. That's when you really gather your resources, not when you win. And especially if you're always barely winning by the skin of your teeth, you'll never have that major breakthrough.
And barely winning isn't really, is it?
No, absolutely not.
Yeah. I mean, to me, barely winning means someone's around the corner about to outwin me, because I'm not going big and bold enough or different enough. Really, maybe I'm hyper competitive and that's my problem. But to me, kind of what you're saying, barely winning is like really just getting by.
Yep. And that's worse than having a few massive failures.
No, I agree. And the thing about failure, I think, too, that you kind of alluded to is when you fail, you really have one of the beautiful things I think about failure isn't just learning from your mistakes. I think that's incredibly important. But I also think it forces you to really see what's happening and deal with it. Versus when you have these kind of superficial wins or you're not really owning the mistake or the failure, you can't really move forward in the right way because you're fixing BS and you're hiding. And failing forces you. I mean, you get very exposed and vulnerable when something doesn't go well, particularly in front of other people. Yeah. And I think that's actually a good thing if you can get okay with that.
Yeah, sales definitely covers a lot of flaws, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's kind of like, well, we see it on a macro scale in the economy. We see businesses that do incredibly well because they're all riding the wave. And then the economy turns and you see who really has a good business and who doesn't. And I also think that that's true on a personal level, that it's very easy when, you know, the company is rising to be that person that kind of floats along with it. But when something goes wrong, that's where you start to see it.
Yeah, I can't believe I'm going to say this. And I promise I don't watch it anymore. But my wife and I used to watch the Bachelor. This is years ago. But we always
admitted that publicly. I don't want you to know that.
I did. But we always used to joke and say that, you know, it's so easy when you're in paradise to make a relationship work. Now I want to see. We always wanted to create a show. Our innovative idea for creating a show was doing a Bachelor-esque show, but having them live off of like $300 for a week.
And they have like 8 kids to take care of and shuttle around. And
exactly.
And they live in an apartment that's too small.
Yep.
I love it. I love that idea. Since you admitted to The Bachelor, I'll admit that I follow someone named Matthew Hussey, who's a relationship guy, but I follow him because the way he builds his business is genius. And I'm curious. And, you know, he's 30 years old talking to millennials and I'm well into Gen X, but I love watching how he does stuff. And one of the things he was talking about in one of his brilliant videos, I actually use his video a lot, was talking about, like, we remember at Disney World, the riding Space Mountain, but we never remember the fights that happened in the line. And like, and it's the same with this type of like failure and success. We always remember like that one magical moment, but we don't actually focus on the rest of it.
Well said. Well said.
Well, now I've gone off on a tangent. But okay, before we close out, where can people go to learn more and connect with you?
Well, first off, you can go check out the book. It's on Amazon.com, Rehumanize Your Business, How Personal Videos Accelerate Sales and Improve Customer Experience. If you want to learn about BombBomb and how we make communicating through video easy and allow you to track, record, send, and track video email, you can go to BombBomb.com, or you can reach me on LinkedIn at Stephen Passanelli. That's Passanelli.
And I have to say, for all of us on Launch Street, I would go check out all of the above. For the book in particular, one of the things I loved about what you did on Amazon is you had the quick read or look inside, but you actually can dig in on yours, which most you can't. Most you just see the table of contents. So I really appreciate that, because when I look for a book, I want to see a little more than the one chapter they put out. So I love that. But also, for those of us out there, BombBomb is a phenomenal tool. Like I said, I've used it for a couple of years now, and was really excited when we got connected. So, okay, Steve, what is your final piece of advice for people thinking about how to get personal and gain more traction in business?
I would start, a lot of people are probably not doing things like this. So my final piece of advice is going to make this easy for you. The same part of your brain that's responsible for anxiety is responsible for gratitude. And we all live busy and hectic lives, and we all have a lot of anxiety. And the best advice that I can give you to start off using video to make it easy for you is to send videos to people that you already know. In the morning, after your hectic day starts and you got the kids ready and you got them out the door and you're feeling all this anxiety, send two thank you videos to two people that have made an impact on your day, and you'll feel that anxiety wash away. Number one, you don't have to be nervous about recording because these people already know you. They already have seen you before. They already like you. You know, people are always worried about, how do I look? How do I sound? You're the only person that doesn't know how you look and sound. Everyone else does. And,
it's funny when you think of it that way.
Yeah. And they've seen you before. So when you send videos to someone that you already know, someone that already likes you, and you simply say thank you, that anxiety, if you're having a bad day, washes away. It's better for your own personal health. It will make you feel better. It's going to make the recipient feel better. And that's where I would begin.
Can I ask you something about something that you said earlier, actually, before I let you go? Because I wrote it down. I thought the quote was so powerful, and I meant to get to it. And then we veered off to some other stuff. But you said attention is the currency of sales.
Yeah.
Tell me more about that, because I do think, you know, I've been doing all this research too around attention spans, and there have been a couple studies that said we're down to something like 8 seconds. You know, I don't know if it's actually faster than a goldfish. I can't figure that part out. But will you just talk more about that? Yeah. We just talk more about that, though, what you said, because I thought that quote was really powerful. I apologize to my listeners. I meant to get to it earlier.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't have attention, then you really don't have a business, because everything that you do requires the attention of someone, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're trying to market yourself, if you're trying to sell your products, if you're trying to send an email, if you're trying to schedule an appointment, if you're trying to advertise on the side of the street with signs, everything requires attention, and our attention is at a premium these days, and distractions are at a premium these days, and people resort, you know, to using the method of the moment to get attention. And I know what some people might be thinking after they, you know, they listen to this webinar, well, video is a novelty. When will video run out? And what we really talked about this entire time wasn't necessarily video. What we talked about was you as an individual. Video was just the conduit to get you, or the method, I should say, to get you in front of more people. And ask yourself this, if you were in front of more people more often, would you do more business? And if the answer is yes, it's because of you, and you get the attention, not the trick, not the novelty, not, you know, the latest and greatest marketing technique. It comes down to you, and it comes down to connection, and video just happens to be one of the ways to do that. And that's how you get attention.
That's a great point. It really is just about connecting with more people, and video is just how you do it. Steve, thank you so much for coming on. Really, from my perspective, very insightful, and really a pleasure to interview someone from the company that I use all the time.
Yeah, well, that was super exciting to when I learned that. But also, you ask fantastic questions, and you do a lot of research, and it's so refreshing because I listen to a lot of podcasts, and you can tell when the podcast host doesn't put in the time and the effort. Mm. And I was just blown away with how much effort you put into me, and I appreciate that.
Thanks for hanging with us on Inside Launch Street. If you know someone that is truly ready to unlock their innovation advantage, have them join you on Launch Street. Discover your innovation advantage. Build a team of high-performing innovators and ignite ideas and solutions that create massive impact. GOTO, LaunchStreet.com. Remember, innovators, if you don't take the leap, somebody else will.